This week, a bunch of Nintendo emulation rumors made the rounds. This is your reminder that Nintendo has done emulation multiple times already, and the slowness of rolling out games is less technical, though programming is always some part of it, but more often licensing. The Nintendo Switch Online SP games are a cute addition that is most thoroughly technical, and I appreciate Nintendo's effort to add a new twist into these games as well. This is just one throwback content headline. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to tell you more about this rumor and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice, Orange Lounge Radio. We are live once again with episode number 911 of our show for tonight, April the 24th of 2022. And as was pointed out to me on the Bobby Blackwolf show before our show tonight, apparently the 10-year anniversary of VOG Network, which soft launched about, April 26th or so in 2012. How about that? My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me, as always, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Dark Sakura. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I am doing well. Let me just take a quick minute to point out, not joining us tonight, unfortunately, Techmaster Loki. As mentioned on a previous episode of Orange Lounge Radio, Loki had surgery earlier this week. He's been giving updates through his Twitter account, at LokiOLR, and I am pleased to report he is out of surgery, doing fine, and I think in one of his tweets he said it was getting better every hour. So he's just at that point where he's got to let the body heal. So I would imagine instead of doing the show tonight, he's sleeping. And quite frankly, what a great thing to be doing. I think, you know, and Dark Soccer myself, perfectly healthy. But a nap sounds great, to be honest. So anyway.
Sleep. Many naps sound great. I start back in the office one day a week starting tomorrow. And the whole thought is just filling me with, bits and pieces of dread. Because the moment, if I get sick, I'm taking it to HR.
Mm-hmm. Is everybody going back the same day, or are they staggering it?
I think you get to pick your one day a week out of, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Okay, so there's a chance not everybody will be there the same day, so it's a little better.
Yeah, but still, now that, you know, really vaccinated or boosted status really isn't doing a whole lot to starve off who gets sick, just the severity of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got concerns. Then again, I came back from Disneyland just fine.
I was going to say, let's talk about the happy stuff. You weren't here last week. No surgery. It was a birthday thing that you were doing last
week. Yeah, it was my birthday. My birthday is a very important holiday.
But you went to the Disneyland.
I did. I had a very, very good time, although my body certainly reminded me that it's not a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I tried to run around like I was. It actually, my whole thing started before then, because Sunday I wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
So what I ended up doing is I drove down on Sunday, kind of rushed my way down and stayed with Marissa and Chris.
Miss her.
Our lovely friend Marissa, who has been on the show a few times and been in chat.
Does some voice acting really good stuff, which is.
I haven't seen Marissa in years, so it was a really pleasant visit. We had a good time.
Good.
And the area that the two of them live in is actually really pretty. I'd never been to the Moore Park before.
Hmm.
And it's sort of up in the hills, and it was a little bit harrowing of a drive because my maps took me kind of a backroads way.
Oh.
But I'm glad it did, because it was really pretty.
There you go.
And then the next day I went to pick up Tiara, which cements how much I hate LAX. And so I managed to get Tiara out of the clutches of the world way traffic. And we went to Anaheim and had sort of a late lunch at this place called Requiem, which is a Final Fantasy-themed coffee bar.
I had no idea there was a place like that. That's cool.
It's beautiful.
Oh, awesome.
And it's not far from the park.
Huh.
You know, so it's near where our hotel was, even though I got bad directions because I put in the wrong Days Inn. There's like 50 million Days Inn over there.
Oh, yeah.
They're all Days Inn by the park. You need to specify which one's which. So we spent a really decent amount of time there. It was really, really, you know, and they serve you like these little toasties. I had a caprese one, which was, you know, basil and mozzarella and tomato, and it had this like really good balsamic glaze on it. And I laughed because Tiara had edamame toast, and I was calling it Japanese beans on toast because edamame are beans.
Yeah.
And then we went to the hotel. We had like dinner at Shakey's, which I've never been to Shakey's. Dan thinks it's okay.
I didn't even know they still existed. That's what blew my mind. Because you texted me that
right next door to our hotel.
Yeah, you texted me that you were at Tiara at Shakey's, and I was like, they're still around? Like they all did you know the original? I mean, you probably didn't, but I'm gonna share it anyway. The original Shakey's pizza was in Sacramento. The very first Shakey's pizza was Sacramento. It's now the Mimosa House down on 65th. That was the original Shakey's. So I
remember Dan telling me about it before.
Yeah, and it's wild that like they're still open because they're all gone here. I haven't seen one in years. But yeah, the big wooden doors.
Busy.
Yeah, and the arcade, they always had a really big arcade area, like most round tables.
Ticket games there.
Yeah.
Nothing that I really wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like a deer hunting and some other.
Oh, like it's a Walmart arcade at this point. Gross.
Kinda. But they put way too much basil on my pizza. I was like, I love basil, and this is excessive. So the next day, we went in for opening, and our mutual friend Nick came to meet us.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually ran into traffic, so it was a little bit late. But then he hung out for a decent time.
Traffic in L.A.? What?
No.
No, Nick's great. Nick's a streamer here on Twitch. You and I have both rated him
Nick
a million times. Yeah.
So, really just a cool guy altogether. Mm-hmm. Really sweet, really fun to hang out with. And then after a little bit, he rode California Screamin' with us. Or not Screamin', it's Incredicoaster now.
Oh, yeah, Incredicoaster, yeah.
And we just had a really good time. And then he had to go off, and it was me and Tiara for a while. And we had dinner at Carthay Circle. I got a really delicious drink. It's like brandy and creme de cacao and coffee and cream, but it kind of got my stomach funny. And I had Moroccan meatballs, which I should have realized that there was going to be something spicy in it. So I ended up like having a slight allergic reaction, but it wasn't bad. But I mean, I got to pilot the Millennium Falcon. I wish I had been right pilot. Next time I want to be a gunner. The gunners, they had a lot more fun.
Is the gunner the one that just pushes the button the whole time? Because I think that's what I did.
That's the engineer.
Oh, okay. That's why I just kept pushing a button.
If you were in the back row, you were an engineer.
I thought I was in the middle, but it was
if you're in the middle, then you're a gunner.
Okay. I don't remember. It was a while ago.
The pilots had a decent amount of stuff to do, but I wanted to do the hyperdrive, so I'm going to wait and do that next time. it was really, really cool. I had a good time with that one. I really enjoyed it. The sense of motion was fairly realistic too.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, we did Haunted Mansion, we did Indy, we did Jungle Cruise. We had a really, really good tour guide who I'm fairly certain was non-binary and had some really funny Mean Girls oriented jokes.
Fun. Did you get to do Rise of the Resistance or too crazy?
I didn't do Rise of the Resistance. I didn't put in for the thing. And honestly, I was like,
it's a hassle.
The only thing I really wanted to do was Smuggler's Run.
Okay.
I had blue milk. I will go on record right now saying that if your throat is sore, drink the blue milk. It is somewhat coating and very relaxing.
But the other good news, it's been a week now since you've been back and no symptoms of the big C. So.
And I did a rapid test.
Oh, good. Good.
And so my rapid test was negative. I also, though, on the way out after I took Tiara to LAX, I had lunch with Nick again. And I was supposed to meet Isaaco, but work got in the way of that. So it was just me and Nick. Mm-hmm. And we went to a really good yakiniku place.
Hmm.
It's like the Japanese version of Korean barbecue.
Yummy.
So, really good. And then I had, I stopped at the Grapevine after the Grapevine to get myself a massage in one of those like beat you up massage chairs because they're great. And then I was checking the time for the Bravo Cheese Farm, which is my other resort that I go to.
The 99 or 5 version.
99.
Okay.
Because I always take 99 back. Yeah. That's the one for me is the one I go to that has the llama that gives no fucks.
Because you know they built one like at the exact same place on I-5. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. It's two of them.
I know. But I have to go to the one on 99. That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, oh no, they close at 7. So I booked it. I like was doing 100 in my Fiat.
Jamie.
I made it there
on 99? Like I, there's 99. A part. So for those not from the area, there's two major freeways.
You've been on 99 with me, you know how
no,
I drive.
I know, but I was to say for those not from the California, there's two major freeways that connect like Sacramento, NorCal, and LA. You can take 99 or the 5. It's and 5 is usually like trucker route, cows, nothing there. 99 goes through all the towns like Stockton, Modesto, Fresno, Bakersfield, like all the towns in the valley. You're going through on 99, so there's more to do on 99. But 5 is the one where you can drive a little faster because there's like no but less people on it, but truckers and, you know, cows on the side of the road.
Actually, now more cops on 5 now.
Oh, it doesn't totally surprise me. People do drive crazy on 5, like not just
me. They were doing some construction, though, on 99, but I was pretty – I mean, I drive a Fiat, so when the lanes went narrow, I could still maintain speed.
Mm-hmm.
And – It wasn't that bad, but when I got there, they're like, "Oh no, we're open till 8. We changed it. We just didn't do it on our website." And I'm like, "Fuck's sake!" So, I hung around, and they have more animals there, but that alpaca still gives no fucks. He was just like, "I'm just gonna sit here, whatever. I'm bored." Right. I made friends with a goat, and I watched the funniest thing. I actually have this little video of it where there's a bunny hutch now.
Oh,
and by the way, I played with Marissa's bunny Snoopy, who I'm in love with that rabbit. And I'm going to go back and steal him. But the bunnies in the hutch, like I caught two of them. They looked like they were just cuddling. So I was like, I'll get a little video of the bunnies cuddling. And then the other bunny is like, OK, it's time to fuck. And the girl bunny's like, fuck you. I'm not into this. And she like bounces off and the bunny's following her, trying to mount again over and over. And finally, she just like turns around at him and then she bounces off and he finally gets the idea. But I'm like, you tell him, little girl bunny, you tell him you are not down. You tell him to take no for an answer, lady bunny.
All right.
Not being lady bunny. I didn't mean it in lady bunny way. She didn't have on nearly enough wigs.
Let me go to the chat. Believe it or not, it's a video game podcast. We'll get into that too. But I do want to go to the chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, where we do tape live every Sunday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And Mike Deft is asking, the 5 covers the whole state, doesn't it? It ends in TJ, the San Diego and Mexico border. That's where 5 starts in the south, and it goes all the way. It goes through Portland, through Seattle, all the way and ends in Canada at that town. I can't remember the name of the town way up there in North Washington, but basically Vancouver, because the freeway changes names when you get into Canada, but basically it takes you to
Not
Vancouver.
Bellevue. No, Bellevue's before.
No, it's another B name, but I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but it's way up. It's not far north of Seattle. It's only like, as I think the Canadian border is only like an hour or two north of Seattle, if that. So, yeah. But anyway, yeah, five is a big
freeway. I still prefer 99. It goes 3 lanes more often. You've got more truck stops, you know.
Yeah, there's more to do. There's more to see.
Exactly. And for me, given that I'm still having that issue with, you know, my alertness, for me being able to stop like that, it was a good idea.
Sorry, I have cat drama going on behind me.
Like, oh, no. Smush, are the boys arguing?
Yeah, Smush just chased Cheddar in here. I'm trying to see. I can't even see where Cheddar ended up. He must have went behind the couch. They ran in here so fast. Don't worry. I'm sure folks in chat are dying to see the cats. If I catch one of them, I'll show them on stream. Don't worry. So, but yeah, they're still getting used to each other. So
is Cheddar coming out of his little shell a bit more?
He is. Oh, he's at my feet. He's getting better. He's less shy than he was. But like Smush will pick on him. Like Smush is starting to be an aggressor. Smush will like follow him around and then like do this thing where he goes and like snort like right at him, like he's, and then Cheddar just books it and Smush will follow him. Like that's their way of like playing. lately. Now Cheddar's like at my feet and refuses to move. It's super adorable. So anyway, if you hear any meowing, that's what's going on, is they're basically taunting each other. So, all right. Wait, Cheddar. Hold on. Buy me time, Darsagra.
Okay. I have $5 and that will buy you 2 seconds of time. Haha. I don't know if Smoosh is trying to be dominant, though. It just doesn't seem...
Cheddar didn't like that.
Well, yeah. Well, Cheddar is a very shy boy.
Yeah, he is. So,
but he let me boop his nose.
He's super adorable. Like, whenever I'm napping or I'm asleep, Cheddar will run in and, like, wants to, like, lie on top of me and purrs really loud. He's just... I think he's very, very... happy to be indoors, because it's interesting. So I started Cheddar on Instagram, and just through the whole process, the people that found Cheddar actually follow him on Instagram, because the adoption agency, like, you know, we were fine with the link being given out or whatever. So they put him in touch. And so we got to see, because I looked at one of the Instagram and I could see a picture of Cheddar when he was found, and they really cleaned him up. Like, he was not in good shape when he was found, so, but he's so adorable now.
You have to send me that link later.
Yeah, I will, for sure. So, Pod Culture in chat says, so is one more each dad's kitty? It does seem right now, anyway, that Smoosh follows Alan around a little more and Cheddar follows me around a little more, but I also really don't want to play favorites. Like, I love them both. It's just, you know, whatever. It's what it is, so... All right, let's get into some video game news. I mean, we could have a cat podcast tonight, I suppose. You know, considering that PAX East was this weekend, I feel like the news is still a little bit light, all things considered. So, you know what? We probably could fill up 3 hours about cats, but we will get into the news.
I could.
And we're going to start tonight talking about Nintendo. And, you know, workers' rights in the video game industry is something that's really been a theme on our show for the past couple of years, honestly. And everything really came to a climax when we were talking about Activision Blizzard and still everything that's going on there. I know you have an update on that later in the show. But this week, the eye of workers' rights in the industry has turned to Nintendo. As a lot of game blogs are talking about, a Nintendo staffer who says that their right to unionize was violated. And this is per a complaint that was filed with the National Labor Relations Board. This also, it should be very important to point out, this has a lot to do with contractors' rights as well, because contractors are really used a lot in the gaming industry. I think more than is talked about, quite honestly. Contractors, sometimes known as like temp agencies, is another, you know, big thing. Contractors are a way to find labor very fast, because a lot of your contractors have already done things like screening, interviewing, and so forth. So they know that somebody's like ready to go. It's a good way a lot of times for companies to find folks to hire long term as well. I got my job that I was at for 14 years through a contractor, temp agency.
So did I.
Yeah.
I'm heading on 9 years.
So but of course, Dark Soccer and I also don't work in the games industry. So it's, but this contracting company that Nintendo uses, Aston Carter, which is a global hiring firm, worker is basically claiming that both of them violated their legally protected right to unionize. And this was a complaint that was made with the National Labor Relations Board on Friday. What happens is that this contractor alleges that Nintendo of America and Aston Carter said they did concerted activities and, quote, coercive actions to interfere with their right to organize. Now, the filing only has broad charges, so we don't know, like, who was involved, what was involved. We don't know any of the specifics. But per a report from Axios, quote, the allegations were likely to include claims of surveillance, threats, retaliation, and either a layoff or refusal to hire.
That's also mentioned in a similar article from Protocol.
Mm-hmm. There will be an investigation, but a lot of folks saying, you know what, probably not, nothing's going to happen. A University of California Berkeley professor and labor expert Harley Shaken said in an interview, if the NLRB is listing these allegations, it's pretty serious, and their ability to act is very real. After these allegations came out, a Twitter user known as The Boikes came out and said they worked at Nintendo and said, Working for Nintendo, contract for 3 years, was one of the most stressful and awful experiences of my life. Coworkers were great, but I was constantly under pressure of being let go for little things like going to the bathroom or being stuck in traffic an extra 2 minutes before work. Additionally, they have an awful practice of dangling the carrot of full-time employee to contracts who they almost universally never hire on just to keep exploiting them and keep them quiet. I spoke up to try and better things for coworkers. Main reason I was let go, TBH. Again, a lot of this to me speaks to contractors' rights. I mean, there's a few things going on with this story, right? Number one, we've said from the very beginning, since these Activision Blizzard reports came out, and even before that, this is an industry problem, right? So if you thought Nintendo was immune from this type of stuff, I mean, surprise. Now,
Nintendo of America.
I guess we could be thankful for a moment. At least we're not hearing anything about sexism or, you know, some of those more serious things we've heard coming out of the Activisions. And like, you know, that whole he was going to kill his secretary or something, allegedly. I'm sorry, I'm totally butchering the quotes, but there was some really messed up stuff that came out of the Activision stuff, right? You know, I feel awkward sitting here going, at least it's just contractors' rights. But I don't want to diminish the situation either. I mean, this whole thing about they could get fired for the littlest thing, this is why a lot of companies, and not just the tech industry, quite frankly, go to contractor agencies. Because, yeah, it is really easy to let somebody go. Sometimes.
I think the contractor agencies are a predatory practice.
It's weird because I also feel like it's biting the hands that feed me a little bit, because sometimes it's worked out in my favor in the past, you know, as far as like getting in with a big company. It just
works out, though, for some of us.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect the majority don't work out.
Yeah, no. And I'm all for like this whole practice of how this works getting scrutinized and getting looked at and contractors' rights being taken seriously. Please don't misunderstand me with what I'm saying. But I just say this, a lot of these things that are being talked about, I don't think are unique to tech either. I think this is a lot with contractors and, you know, just in general, how that all works. So. Going to the chat, because you know our chat is going to light up at this over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Dijarama S says, I kind of think that this person is mad that Nintendo wouldn't flip their contract over to FTE. Maybe so. I mean, but, you know, we talked about like the dangling carrot and all of that stuff. Maybe there is a frustration there. You give and give and give, and you expect that, you know, maybe you're going to move up the ladder, maybe get some of the benefits, you know, and stuff that comes with being a full-time employee. Maybe it does get frustrating when time and again that doesn't happen for whatever. So, Fanara in chat says, contractors equals first one out the door. Yes, as well. Like if there's ever a layoff or something like that, almost always. Yeah, contractors, like unless they're highly specialized, almost always. Yeah. Dijarama S also says, well, even as a contractor, you have to still follow the handbook of the company, but they really can't fire you over silly stuff.
But they can reach out to the contracting company and say that you're not a good fit.
Mm-hmm. I have seen it, and I'll speak openly about this because it's not my current company and it's not, you know, anything where any of us are affiliated with currently, but I've absolutely seen it where a person didn't show up to work for 2 days in a row and somebody would call the contract agency and say, could you just let them know we don't need them back and send somebody else? And it didn't even really matter what the reason is. It's just we needed them. They weren't here. Let's do somebody else. And that's what, you know, happens with contractors.
And they can totally do it as retaliation. I was working with a mortgage company once that they were violating several federal laws, and I called them on it, and I told them why, and I showed them the laws. I'm like, when I do this work, I'm going to be documenting every piece of it. I'm not going to have anything that I do come back and bite me. And they let me go.
And then I filed
a complaint, and the company was gone a year later.
Yeah. And you know, she just doesn't fit in with the culture here.
Yeah, I'm not going to break the law for you.
Anyway.
Well, they didn't last the year because I'm not the only one that filed the complaint too.
Yeah. So anyway, just that's, you know, what's going on at Nintendo is under Having problems with my computer over here. Where did Discord go? Okay, there we go. Okay, but another thing I wanted to say about this whole Nintendo news is that Nintendo did comment on the situation. So Nintendo said, "We are aware of the claim, which was filed with the National Labor Relations Board by a contractor who was previously terminated for the disclosure of confidential information and for no other reason." But that, see, I kind of, like, I get what Nintendo's doing here and covering their butt, but I kind of think that reason, like, they were watching him and he said something to somebody and they jumped on it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. This seems a little bit of a stretch to me, but whatever. I'm not there. I don't know the specifics, whatever. Nintendo is not aware of any attempts to unionize or related activity and intends to cooperate with the investigation conducted by the NLRB. Nintendo is fully committed to providing a welcoming and supportive work environment for all our employees and contractors. We take matters of employment very seriously. Well, then I would be curious what they have to say about the Twitter user I talked about as well and other former employees, whether they be full-time or contractor. I've heard other stuff as well that wasn't posted as publicly that's rather interesting. So, you know, it was really just a matter of time before your fave in the industry had a good look at it as well. And so here's now, you know, Nintendo's turn to look at what are they doing right and what are they doing wrong. So, interesting. Anyhow, let's move on and talk about the types of games that we have been playing this week in How Was Your Gaming Week? Dark Soccer, I know you were at Disneyland, but did you fit in any video gaming in your week?
Yeah, I mean, I streamed, so I played Dead by Daylight, and I played Seiken Densetsu 3. I have 4 of the Mana Beasts down, or whatever they're calling them. The Benevedons, mm-hmm. I think is what they're calling them. I just think of them as the Mana Beasts. So I'm halfway through them, and then I think after that, after the other 4, then I have the last fight, so... And then I've beaten the game, and I'm moving on to Terranigma, probably.
Cool.
Yeah. And Dead by Daylight, I'm kind of, I don't know, I just, like, I didn't have any concentration yesterday, so I was just sort of being, you know, whatever about the game. I was just sort of like, oh, I don't care. All right, they win, yay, whatever. Okay, good. Sure. Yeah, you can boop my demo dog. I'm still going to tear you to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I actually played demo. It was kind of fun. He's a cute puppy.
I haven't touched Dead by Daylight all week. I don't know what it is. I'm not like consciously trying to avoid it or anything. I just kind of feel like the game's in a bit of a lull for me right now.
But I still play regularly for consistency. Sure. And it's also like double experience.
Yeah, I heard that was going on this weekend.
So I want the eerie shards.
Yeah.
But I still have fun. I get frustrated sometimes. And yeah, like Fenara just said, new Rift comes out on the 27th. And
oh, that's right.
I think it's a Twins Rift.
Yeah, Twins and David. Maybe Twins I'll Tone. Log in for that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I have to see if there's anything, you know, worthwhile in it that I want that would make it worth paying for. So, I mean, who am I kidding? I like all the cosmetics, so.
I already have enough of the, what is it, orange shards? I forget what they're called. The Oryx cells, that's it. I have enough of those on my account to buy the Rift. I probably will, whatever. Who cares?
I once paid for a whole Rift. Oh, as wow. In, like, paid to advance on it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that was for all the pig stuff.
Okay. Got it.
Because, I'm sorry, I'm a pig main.
Mm-hmm.
But no, other than that, those are, you know, that and my Wordscapes. I'm still kind of addicted. Didn't really do much else. Yeah.
Right.
I didn't even play Astro Blasters.
My gaming week. Honestly, not a lot of new stuff. It's 2 of my standbys. I played a lot of both. I played more No Man's Sky. I actually was really good with my streaming this week. I, you know, ever since the move and my life getting, you know,
thanks for the raid,
turned upside down. Yeah, you're welcome. Since all that kind of turned things upside down, I've been getting back into streaming more regularly. So I stream Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and one other day, whatever day I rated you, Friday maybe. So, yeah, I've been streaming more, which is weird. But I played No Man's Sky on Monday, and I think Friday stream, the night I rated you, I think I was playing that too. Yeah, No Man's Sky, I beat Expedition 6, so I cleared everything with that expedition. And as annoying as it was with the increased pirate raids, I think it made me a better No Man's Sky player, for one. It forced me to do an element of the game I don't normally, you know, pay attention to, which is the combat stuff. I would actually say it's probably the easiest expedition. Well, the Normandy one was probably the easiest, and that was more because of the length. It was designed to only be like a 2-week expedition, so you had to beat it in like 5 hours of game time. So that was probably the easiest one, but I would say 6 was probably the second easiest one, if you're willing to do the combat fights. Now, I know Bobby's talked about this on his show. He really does not like to do the fighting. He's more of a pacifist player, and I get it. Like, if you don't like to do the combat, this latest patch is kind of annoying because they added more opportunities to get fights picked with you. But another thing I learned is that you can pretty much run away from anything as long as you don't engage. If you keep running one direction long enough or flying long enough in one direction, you can get out of it without engaging. It's just annoying because, you know, like a lot of things in No Man's Sky, you're doing one thing and then squirrel, something else comes up. That's just how the game goes. But I enjoyed my experience in the expedition so much that, like, Friday, I was just like, you know what? I want to continue in this new game that I started, because I beat the expedition like an hour into Monday's stream, and it was the last day for Twitch drops, and Twitch drops take about 3 hours. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to do a 3-hour stream. Let's just start a new game. Let's do a new game with all these rewards I've been collecting through Twitch drops and everything. So I started the game, and then I kind of found like I was missing it. I kind of want to play that game again. So I did on Friday and advanced my game. And I probably will stream that a couple more days this week. So I like No Man's Sky. It's just a relaxing game, and the nice thing about streaming it is that, you know, enough, especially with the Twitch drops, a lot more people are coming into chat. But even on Friday when there were no drops, you know, some of the peeps that I've known for a long time thanks to OLR and other, hanging in other communities, just coming in, just chilling out, hey, what's up, not my, you know, oh, this game is still pretty, but just talking about stuff while I'm blasting rocks for dust. So yeah, Questbuster says, I just found out that you can make squadrons and have a wingman warp in when you get into a fight. They're not that great, but they give the pirate something else to shoot at. Yes, you don't really learn about that until the very end of Expedition 6. But as soon as you get your freighter, which in the main story or any time, really, it's in the game's code. If you do 5 warps, galaxy warps, your 5th galaxy warp, you will always warp into a freighter fight. If you kill the pirates, which isn't that hard, the freighter will invite you aboard, and the captain will be like, I'm sick of this. Why don't you take my freighter? And you can get the freighter. The minute you get that, you can unlock at one of the panels squadron mates. And they cost nanites, like most things in the game does. But it's pretty easy to recruit at least one. And yeah, they'll fight by your side in some of those battles, which is pretty nice. So something to think about. Anyway, also I've been playing Final Fantasy 14 because I was sidetracked by No Man's Sky with the expedition that was timed over Easter weekend. I, was neglecting the 6.1 patch in Final Fantasy 14, which I finally caught up with this week. So I streamed on Tuesday and Wednesday night. Shane joined me. We did some dungeons. I've done the new dungeon. I did the new raid. I didn't do that on stream. I ended up doing that, like Saturday or something. I don't remember. So I've been enjoying the patch in 6.1 Final Fantasy. I'm playing Sage for the first time, which is one of the new classes that came out with Endwalker. And it's funny because I played it for the very first time on stream on Wednesday. And I think you hear me sitting there kind of going, none of these words make sense. None of this thing makes sense. But now that I've played it and I'm up to like level 76 now, I actually really enjoy the rhythm of Sage. It's a very like fast paced, there's always something going on type of healer where you're doing damage and healing and barriering. And so it's very like satisfying when you do it well, but it can be tricky to get the hang of it first. But I'm enjoying my adventure in Sage right now in Final Fantasy, and I'll probably take it to 90, honestly. So that'll probably be the next class I get to the end game. I still have yet to look at the PvP in Final Fantasy, but that's kind of on like my list of things to do hopefully in this next week. So that's pretty much my gaming week. Mike Deft in our chat talks about most of my gaming this week has been Pokemon, either Go or Unite, which some Kirby thrown in there. And that does remind me You know, I don't talk about the GPS games, but I should because they do take a lot of my attention. Yesterday was like Niantic Community Day, where they were doing stuff in all three games. So Pokemon Go had the Stuffle debut and all that stuff and the shinies. And Pikmin had a, you know, their community day for tulips. So I walked 17,000 steps yesterday because in the morning I was walking with my Ingress friends, although there was a thing going on in Ingress, but it was kind of like very passive and not like, so we weren't even playing Ingress. We were doing Pikmin and walking that. And I got like 9,000 steps just walking with my friends. And then I went back to I had to pick up my sister at the airport. I went back downtown after all that. And I went out for Stuffle Community Day and walked another like 8,000 steps walking around the Capitol several times. So, but I caught 19 shiny Stuffles. Like it was, again, and I only Bluetooth caught the whole time. It was one of those things where I was like, I after an hour and a half, I was like, I don't need this many Stuffles. I have 19. What am I going to do with these? I have 1,200 candies. I'm kind of done. So, but I had a very productive day. So that was my like Niantic day. So I always forget to talk about the GPS games, but I play plenty of those as well. It's not always just Final Fantasy and No Man's Sky and whatever standbys I have. Yeah, also, I played my Burger Time machine a little bit today.
Really?
Yeah, I was trying to see if I could get Cheddar to be interested in it because Smush really likes the light and the noise. And I was trying to see if I could get Cheddar interested in it. So I played it a little bit to get the noise and all that. He didn't care. Mm. He didn't care. So it's interesting how cats like different things. That's for sure.
Yeah. Midna would rather just like sit at the glass door and just watch everything outside, you know, cat TV.
Mm-hmm. No, Smush used to like get up on top of it and all that stuff too. But now that Cheddar's here, his pastime is very much watching and patrolling whatever Cheddar does. So anyway, all right, let's get into some more video game headlines for this week. I hope you all had a good week, whether it was, you know, playing video games or going to something like PAX East was this weekend. I know that was the first convention in a long time for a lot of people. I also know PAX East did a heck of precautions with mandated vaccines and masking. So hopefully everything is okay. I always think it's a good idea if you're going to go to a convention like that or whatever, at least take a rapid test. Honestly, just take the nose swab test from a medical provider like 3 days. Don't do it the day after. Do it like 3-4 days after just to make sure. I think it's just always a good idea. I plan on going to Dragon Con over Labor Day. I'm sure there will be precautions. That's fine. And I will take a test as soon as I get back just to make sure, just to be thorough.
Yep.
But the reality is in this day and age, you go anywhere with a lot of people, COVID's going to be there somewhere. You know, everybody heard the story.
It's the uninvited guest.
Yeah. Everybody heard the story at GDC about the person who knew they had COVID and went to the industry parties anyway. And that's just the reality is that's the grocery store. That's transit. That's the airport. That's a restaurant. That is anywhere a lot of people hang out. Somebody is going to go full well knowing that they have COVID. So if you're going to be in close proximity with people in any of those situations, look out for yourself. You know, just unless you truly don't care, then I hope you have a speedy recovery. That's
we don't like those people.
Yeah, it's all I got. So, all right, moving on. Let's talk about in games a headline from Ubisoft. You know, Ubisoft, not only in the working conditions environment, but in the NFTs environment has been in headlines a lot lately, which makes this headline very interesting about a new project they are working on called Project Q. In a tweet, Ubisoft wrote, "Introducing codename Project Q, a team battle arena, letting players truly own the experience. The game is in early development and we will keep testing. So for now, all you can do is register for upcoming tests." Well, you see, they kind of were forced their hand on sharing this because a leaker out there actually shared footage of the game, saying that it looked a little bit like Overwatch meets Fortnite. Is kind of what it looked like. There was a mode called Showdown where four teams of two go against one another to decide the winner. And Battle Zone sees two teams of four going against each other to see who gets 100 points first. But even though folks are saying, oh, it's Overwatch meets Fortnite, Ubisoft was quick to say this isn't a Battle Royale game. Which is, so it's interesting to see Ubisoft saying, no, it's not that. By the way, this is not a battle royale. The game will feature a variety of PvP modes with one single goal in mind. Fun!
Fun.
Fun is the goal.
I like fun.
Yeah, I like fun too. We'll see. We'll see if it passes the Rob Roberts and Dark Sakura fun test to be determined at a later date. Also, and I what also kind of cracks me up about this, Ubisoft also went to say there are no NFTs in Project Q. Because
selling point.
Ubisoft has been known to promote. Well, it also goes to show what a big company Ubisoft is. And you have different developers within Ubisoft. So I think this team is probably trying to separate itself from some of the other things Ubisoft is known for, which I think is very interesting. So again, if you want to, what was that?
Oh, I said, let's hope.
Yeah. If you want to sign up to check out Project Q, you can do that over at register.ubisoft.com/ProjectQ-signup. And the project is coming out for Xbox One, Xbox Series, PlayStation 4 and 5, and PC. Let's hope this one lasts and doesn't go the way of Hyperscape, which was a battle royale, but apparently was not fun for enough people because nobody was playing it. And so they shut it down, or they're shutting it down, but it is being end dated. Orange Wright is awarding one pat on the back for no NFTs. SG100 Matt says, letting us know there are no NFTs gets one clap. Fifth Dream says,
a loud one, just sort of like a bad muted one.
Like a golf clap.
No, it was like this.
Oh, the or hands like just kinda... missed. There was an attempt at clapping. Fifth Dream in chat says, pick a better letter, Ubi. What's wrong with Q? What's your hatred with the letter Q, Fifth Dream? Q's
Q
probably
is an amazing character.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I was just about to say Q's my favorite character in Bond. What's wrong with that?
I was actually talking about Star Trek.
Oh, that too, Star Trek too.
Yeah.
Let's remember some famous Q's in
my
history.
Captain.
Anyway, all right. Let's move on to our next story. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us next?
Well, Nintendo's doing something ahead of schedule. You know, we often hear about, like, games being delayed, but we rarely hear about them coming out early. And it looks that Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is actually coming out 2 months ahead of schedule on July 29th. Mm. But it looks like that instead of using whatever that early finish time, you know, to do more play testing and a little bit more work on it, they're just bringing it out. So who knows what that's gonna mean, but it's not like we haven't had games release early before. Like the upcoming game, well, not upcoming, it's already out, but the Sifu that came out, it was due February 22nd, it came out on February 8th, and Assassin's Creed 4 dropped early as well. So it's not like we haven't had a few come out earlier, but I still think that the date should be maintained so that, again, they can make sure that they have a good product.
Here's why. I'm going to tell you 100% why. Because it relates to something Bobby Blackwolf said. Bobby Blackwolf in our chat says they probably have another game that will come out when XC3 was originally going to come out. So they rearranged things. Also in the news this week, Splatoon 3, which hadn't been dated yet, but was generally considered to be a summer game, was given a date, 9/9/2022. So it's going to get the Dreamcast day of 9/9. So that's getting a September release. They're calling it a summer release because technically, you know, summer runs through September 21st, right? So it's a summer release, but it's September summer. So that comment from Bobby, I think, is 100% on the nose. Splatoon ended up taking this. I think Splatoon got delayed. But since they never said it was going to come out on a certain day, it's not a delay. But mm-hmm. I think the fact they're rearranging the calendar, I think, goes to show that Splatoon was probably originally going to be the July game and ended up getting pushed back to September, which, you know, if it needs more time, then fine, whatever. I think, but it's also interesting. I just think XC3 has probably been done. It's probably been done, and they're in the final stages of it, and it was completely about release strategy going into the holiday season and all of that. Absolutely. But Especially when it was already out there that XC2 and 3 were in development side by side. So 3's probably been done for a few months now, and it's really just a release strategy thing at this point. And so now they don't want to compete against themselves. Although Splatoon and Xenoblade are very different genres, you're still asking Nintendo fans who are probably interested in both to plunk down 60 and another 60. So it's best if they space them out a little bit so that you'll pay 60 in July and then 60 in September. On a somewhat related note, I thought it was very interesting. You know, there was a tweet going around earlier today that came across my timeline, and it did make me stop and go, that is interesting that we're talking about Xenoblade Chronicles 3 being a tentpole release essentially for the Switch at this point, right? Do you remember, folks? Think back about 10 years ago. No, a little more. Think back to the Wii era, like 2008, 2009. Do you remember the first Xenoblade Chronicles game and how Nintendo wouldn't put it out in America? And how it took a little Operation Rainfall to finally get that game to get released, along with some other, there were some other games involved in that as well. But that game finally got released. It was a GameStop exclusive, which I still to this day say was garbage, but whatever, at least it was released. And, you know, because many people were just pirating it at that point. I may or may not be one of them. But that game was so good, at least it finally got in front of the eyes of other people. And it's just interesting to me how far we've come, because since then we had Xenoblade Chronicles X on the Wii U, which, you know, it was Wii U, but I think it was still very well received as a Wii U title. And then, of course, the remaster came out for the Switch, and I believe it did pretty well. Well enough, anyway, to necessitate Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and 3 now. So this is very interesting that, like, this series is causing release strategy shifts in the U.S. when Nintendo didn't even want to do this game in the U.S. originally. So can all of the supporters of Operation Rainfall please just take a moment to say, we were right. And doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that feel good? Bobby Blackwolf says, the Lost Story was the other one, I think. Yes, there was that. And there was one other. Pandora something was the other. There was one other. Because there were three. And they all did get released eventually. So, yeah, it was Pandora's Tower. Thank you, Orange. Right. That was the other one. So they all did. Of course, the other two, I don't think ever did get follow-ups. Was Lost Story a Mistwalker title? It was from a studio. Everybody wanted to play it because it was from a particular studio. But it never ended up. Yeah, it was Mistwalker. So Mistwalker kind of went a different direction. And now Fantasia is the most recent thing they've done, right? So, but Lost Story, I kind of.
Fantasia is great, just, you know, annoying.
I wish they would revisit some of these, you know. Mistwalker is such a fascinating studio because they keep doing these RPGs that just don't stick. For whatever reason. That's not, I'm not talking about Fantasian. I'm talking about Blue Dragon. Lost
Fantasian
Odyssey.
Also kind of turned a little bit weird.
Did it?
Yeah. The thing is that, like, playing through the game is easy. The boss battles are harder than the advertised level.
And Bobby Blackwolf says it was the Last Story, not the Lost Story. You're probably mind melding with Lost Odyssey, which was also a Mistwalker title. It happens. That was ways back. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just had to point that out as I was like, here we are talking about release date strategies around Xenoblade Chronicles 3 when Nintendo didn't even want to release the first one in the U.S. So I just think how far we've come, and kudos to the fans for speaking up. You know, as much as we talk about, you know, angry fanboys when it comes to Nintendo, I think Operation Rainfall did it appropriately. And look at the big victory here all these years later. Now we just need the Xenoblade Chronicles X re-release on Switch because a lot of people missed it on Wii U and it had great music. All right. Anyhow.
Remember when before Xenogears came out,
mm-hmm.
that they had a mention of it in Final Fantasy VII and yeah. No one got it because of how they spelled it.
Right.
It was when Cloud was in the wheelchair and not himself, and one of the things he would mumble was Xenogears,
mm-hmm.
which is a literal romanization of how it would be spelled in katakana.
I love when games subtly reference each other. I love it. It's like this little inside joke that only we get. Also, I also love the concept of video games being set in like the same universe. Ivalice in Final Fantasy. I love the concept of like tactics in Final Fantasy 12. And in my brain, in my head canon, and I know Yoshi P has come out and said no, but in my head canon, Final Fantasy 14 is an Ivalice game. And I realize there are elements about the story that definitely differentiate it from Ivalice, but it's an Ivalice in a different part of the multiverse game to me. And I think 16 will be an Ivalice game too, to be quite honest. I just don't think that's been confirmed yet, but that's maybe wishful thinking on my part, but it is Creative Unit 3 doing it. And those are a lot of the people that worked on those games. So I think there's a strong chance 16 is an Ivalice game, and I hope so. So, all right, moving on. Speaking of great things from the past, Dark Sakura.
Well,
Am I next? My bad. I'm sorry. You see what happens? We lose one person for the night and the entire rotation gets screwed up.
Well, you still left him in the show role for another segment.
Well, you know, things happen. That's right. You were on
always
last week's
show. Always a
part show
of the show. Always a part of the show.
Yeah, I was like, you were in last week's show, even though you were at Disneyland. So, all right. Let's talk about this instead. Let's talk about Nintendo and the Nintendo Switch Online. And there's been a leak of the Nintendo Switch Online because it includes unreleased NES games. This was apparently something that was leaked over to... because this has to do with another thing I'm going to talk about here. Oh, this doesn't have the piece on the Game Boy Advance part. Hold on. Sorry, I was looking at a story that talked about the NES titles that have been discovered in the emulator as well. But it all started with a Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance Switch Online emulator pack that was originally posted to 4chan. Sigh, but leaks happen there. Four files popped up on there, and some Twitter users braved 4chan to get in there and talk, like, see what's there. There was a 7Z archive that had loose NCAs. It was a Game Boy emulator made by Nerd. It's Nintendo's team that works on other classics for Switch Online. The Game Boy Advance emulator calls Sloop. So now some folks are saying, you know, 4chan, it's got a hit and miss type of track record, but the consensus right now is that this one's legit because builds of three Nintendo Switch Online apps, they're usable and they're playable, and there is source code that has identifying information from Nintendo devs. So all the signs point to this is legit. Otherwise, this wouldn't catch fire the way it did. So we have news that a Game Boy Advance emulator is being worked on for the Nintendo Switch. And there are games like Pokemon Pinball that show up in the list, which I think are things that I would love to play all over again.
I checked something trying to follow back a link on one of those tweets, and the account is dead. The account's gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
The one who was talking about the analog support and the Hyoko emulator.
I wonder if there was an NDA, because I wonder if Nintendo maybe tried to shut it down or something. Who knows? So
that account is gone. Oof. I wonder if this other one is.
Anyway.
Now, the other one is still there.
That's very interesting. Sometimes people don't like the attention either, and they might have changed their name to break all the links or something. I don't know. So anyway, but this doesn't mean that it's coming tomorrow. It doesn't mean it's coming in June even. It just means Nintendo's working on it. But that could be working out in the way future. I thought it showed interesting things about like how they use save states to really practice some things in emulators. And they actually had save states that talked about, like, you know, there's a certain texture used in this part of the game and that they'll use those to test certain part of the emulators. And that kind of made me click and go, aha, that's where those SP releases are coming from. You know how on the NSO, they apparently, like, you know, every other month or so, they'll release like a Kid Icarus SP edition. And all it is basically a save state that takes you directly to the last level in the game. So you can see how the very last level in Kid Icarus is nothing like the rest of the game. It's very unique. I feel like those save states, some of them are just becoming the SP edition of the game. Or The other one that comes to mind, it was one of the first ones they ever did. It was The Legend of Zelda. I don't remember what they called it, but it was the money-filled edition. It already had like every item, 255 rupees. It had like everything already unlocked. And I was like, that was just a save state for Nintendo to test things in that game. That's what that was. And then they ended up releasing it as like a bonus game. That's clever. Anyway, the leak didn't just leak that this Game Boy Advance emulator is being worked on, is that there was also unreleased NES games, including Pac-Man, Tetris, Galaga, Mega Man, Castlevania. Lots of games that make you go, wow, this really is missing. It's also interesting to note the build date for the application, October 2019.
So they've been on this for a minute.
Uh-huh. Now, of course, just because... Now, see, here's where my brain goes. I don't think just because the games were in the emulator, they were ever being planned on coming out. Because that's a licensing thing, especially because this has all these Mega Man games in there. Well, hello, Capcom released a Mega Man collection for the Switch already. They don't want to just give these games to Nintendo for free. Unless, I mean, maybe they'll get a money-sharing thing later on, but they're probably holding out. But my guess is Nintendo was probably internally testing these to test the emulator to make sure that it was still good in case either these games were ever just going to, you know, they get the deal inked out and these games come out someday, or, and I think this is the case with Xbox or emulation in general. And I know we have an emulation expert in our Discord server, and I may or may not get corrected, but just following this over the years, when you get a certain thing in emulation to work, it usually causes other similar games to work. For example, in the Nintendo universe, you hear a lot about mappers, right? You get one mapper cartridge type to work, it usually means others that also run on that mapper will also work. I say Xbox because I think back to that story when, remember when like Barbie Dream Adventures or something ended up becoming a backwards compatible Xbox 360 title, everybody was like, why did Microsoft waste their fucking time making that Barbie game backwards compatible? And I've been saying since the beginning, they didn't. It's just another game that we don't know of that they did want to get backwards compatible, ran on a very similar type of coding structure, engine, something that the Barbie game did. And so, you know, look at other games that developer or that publisher did, and whatever Microsoft did to get that game running also made Barbie work. And so I think, and that's my long-winded way of saying, these Mega Man games showing up in this emulator build may not really be about Mega Man. It's probably more about the emulator. Because I don't see what Capcom has to gain when they're selling these games independently for their own money, to just say, okay, NSL, go ahead and release them on your service until they're sure that they're not going to make any more money off that game and Nintendo opens up their wallet enough. So what do you want to bet? If these Mega Man games do show up, it's going to be on the Plus service, expansion pack, mm-hmm. whatever the fuck they call it, because they need that extra money so that they can funnel some of it over to Capcom. Tetris, I'm sure, is a legal issue at this point. Can they re-release the old Tetris? I'm sure it's complicated. Granted, they have Tetris 99, but Tetris 99 and the original Tetris on NES, they are different games and legally have to be treated differently. Castlevania and Simon's Quest, same logic. Why would Konami just suddenly open those up on Nintendo Switch Online when they're trying to sell you the Castlevania collection? So, I think some blogs and some people on Twitter are reading too much into this, and I think maybe need to take a step back and go, oh, this is just more about testing the emulator, or maybe these games are ready to come out as soon as the deal gets inked legally, but I don't know if it will ever get inked legally. Pac-Man. I hate to sound like a broken record, but like literally in the next 2 weeks, there's a Pac-Man Museum game coming out. Why does Namco want to put Pac-Man out on NSO? Why? They're trying to sell Pac-Man Museum. Now, I do look at other games in here like Kung Fu, the original Kung Fu on the NES, which was an arcade game as well. I'm not sure why that game can't be released unless, like, was there an actual tie-in to something that I'm just missing in the moment with that game legally? But yeah, it's interesting. I actually loved that game,
by
the way.
They must have some reasons.
Yeah. So
I mean, they don't have to tell us what their reasons are. That's just the thing. They don't have to tell us. Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that these got out.
The more people speculate on it, that just generates more publicity for them.
Oh, sure. Sure. Now, this is interesting over in chat. Ah, thank you, Orange Wright. Kung Fu was based on an IREM arcade game, Kung Fu Master. Ding, ding. That's it. That's why it's legally still tied up. I remember the arcade game being awesome. And then they ported it pretty well to the NES. So thank you, everybody. And DJ Rama S says, IREM is too busy milking R-Type to deal with Kung Fu. Well,
yeah, how many R-Type finals have we?
SG100 Matt says, I remember when folks hacked the PlayStation Classic and folks saw that they had tested a ton of other games on it, including anime fighting games. The whole list of games they used to test on it would have made that thing better than a dust collector. For sure. Fifth Dream in chat says, maybe that contract worker at Nintendo from earlier leaked the emulators. I don't think a contractor would have access to those files, but it's cute fanfic. But probably not rooted in reality, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go on to our next story. Now we can go to Dark Sakura's story.
So, well, Activision Blizzard is doing something right. I mean, then again, they're kind of having to do it.
They have to.
Yeah. So they are adding two women senior executives to the board. They are announcing that Lulu Cheng Meserve, I guess that's how it's pronounced, is joining immediately, and then they're nominating Carrie Carr for election in their annual meeting in June. Which so far they've actually, Activision Blizzard has been in violation of law that requires publicly traded companies with six or more people on the board to have at least three women directors. And then half of Activision's 10-person board has been together for nearly 2 decades. 8 men and 2 women currently sit on the board. Hendrik Harton III and Casey Wasserman have chosen not to go for re-election. Hmm. Meserve is the VP of communication at Substack, and Carr is SVP with Bacardi and an alum of the Walt Disney Company.
Hmm.
So
interesting.
There you go.
Well, the representation is important. It's interesting that there's, you know, the law and all that as well with the board. That's pretty neat. So it's good. But also, I hope these folks have been vetted. Because that's still important as well, because the next story we have is about an executive who is a woman who allegedly not so great. I don't know. I've heard a lot of things about this woman and she's on Facebooks.
I actually have one more little thing to add on to
please,
if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
The SOC Investment Group is actually urging investors to vote against the Activision Blizzard acquisition, the merger.
Mm-hmm.
So, they own a small percentage of Activision stock, and they are calling for them to elect a new competent and dedicated board of directors. That's my quote, before it's going to go through. And so I think that this might be part of that. This was announced last week.
I have heard of
that in there.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I've heard of a lot of pushback to Bobby Kotick's payout, too. You know, a lot of senators were voicing their opinions on that as well, is that the deal shouldn't go through because of Bobby Kotick's payout. His ass needs to be kicked to the curb.
He needs to be paid out in rotten prunes.
He needs to be paid out in a pink slip in a cardboard box, his contractors.
I think he should be given a bunch of prunes and be forced to eat it before he leaves.
Well, wait until you hear what I have next, Dark Sakura, because it involves the tale of Bobby Kotick and the COO, or Chief Operating Officer of Facebook, excuse me, Meta, Sheryl Sandberg. That's who I was referencing a moment ago. Meta is under an investigation if Sheryl Sandberg broke company rules by basically trying to do a favor for Activision CEO Bobby Kotick, who she was dating at the time.
Oh.
How the world these Bobby Kotick
stories.
Why
would anyone want to date him other than maybe having him be a sugar daddy, but she would have enough
I'm exhausted even just after the first sentence of this article. But let me continue. According to a report in the Wall Street Journal, who keeps breaking these stories that going on in the game industry? So snaps and actual claps to the Wall Street Journal and journalists who are getting it fucking done when it comes to holding these companies accountable. According to this report, so I have to say allegedly bold, underlined, italicized, but according to the report, Sheryl Sandberg used company resources to kill negative reporting about Kotick. So due to this, Meta is conducting a review and whether she violated the company's rules. The British tabloid Mail Online was pursuing... Is that the Daily Fail? It must be. It must be the Daily Fails online.
The Daily... Actually, yeah, the Daily Mail.
Everybody calls it the Daily Fail.
They're listed by that name.
So the Daily Fail was working on a story based on allegations from a former girlfriend of Bobby Kotick's and a temporary restraining order that she got against him. But Sheryl Sandberg and Kotick worked together in 2016 and 2019, according to this report, to strategize on how to persuade the Daily Mail to not report on the restraining order. Facebook and Activision staff were both directly involved with this, and the concern at Facebook was that the story would, quote, reflect negatively on her reputation as an advocate for women. Because remember, she's dating him at the time. Wall Street...
An advocate for women, she wouldn't have been dating the shit.
Yes. I don't know what else to say. The Wall Street Journal also openly questions if Sandberg inappropriately used her influence as Facebook COO in dealing with Mail Online's management. An unnamed source said that Kotick, quote, told people that Ms. Sandberg threatened the Mail in 2016 by saying that such an article, if published, could damage the news organization's business relationship with Facebook. Why is the Daily Mail called the Daily Fail? Because of all their fucking clickbait headlines and clickbait articles that they write on a regular basis. Who is the number one peddler of those headlines?
But they do have a big readership.
Oh, sure. People.
And people believe stupid tabloids, especially if there's a grain of truth in it.
Are you telling me, Dark Sakura, here on this day, on episode 911 of Orange Lingerie, are you telling me that stupid people click stupid links? Are you telling me?
My point is that if they have a concern about this affecting public opinion of the piece of shit and her association with the piece of shit, then it's a valid concern. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're both pieces of shit. But now more people will know how much shitty they are.
Pele Hanumea in chat says, Bat Boy marries Princess Diana. That's the Daily Mail. No, that was Weekly World News. I'm almost positive.
That was Weekly World News.
Isn't it?
Daily Mail. Daily Mail will post, like, legit stuff every so often.
What does it say about my sad brain that I knew which tabloid it was and to correct this well-intentioned listener on their comment? I have no further comment at this time. Let's go back to this saga going on over here. It should be pointed out the Mail Online never published its story on Kotick. A Meta spokesperson denied that Sandberg threatened Mail Online, saying Sheryl Sandberg never threatened the Mail Online's business relationship with Facebook in order to influence an editorial decision. This story attempts to make connections that don't exist, Bobby Kotick said to the journal. He never said anything like that. Activision's board of directors said it did a thorough investigation into an incident in 2014 and that they have full confidence in Mr. Kotick's leadership. Holy shit, is that a lot to unpack right there? Because, I mean, how many times has the Activision board of directors come to say, we have confidence in Bobby Kotick. We have confidence in what's going on here. When I'm honestly, truly, there is no reason to have that type of trust in Bobby Kotick. They did a thorough investigation in 2014. What can you detail for me, Activision, what that investigation was? Because it sounds like that investigation was throwing it in a deep dock drawer, locking it, and throwing away the key. If you would care to hear another quote, boy, do I have one for you. The board has been aware of the circumstances reporting involving an incident in 2014. Around the time of the incident in 2014, Mr. Kotick notified the senior independent director of the board, has subsequently updated the full board, and has been fully transparent with the board. The board, through its counsel, Skadden Arps, has done a thorough... I'm probably mispronouncing it, but do I really care at this point? Has done a thorough examination of the facts and circumstances of the event, satisfied itself that there was no merit to the allegations, and notes that they concern a personal relationship that has nothing to do with the business of the company. The board continues to have full confidence in Mr. Kotick's leadership and his ability to run the company. I'm exhausted. Anyway. Before we get to our next story, I see the raid there from Bromigos, so I want to say thank you for that. Usually, we're recording a podcast, and so we sometimes are really bad about doing the Twitch things of acknowledging all the things when they happen, because our podcast listeners can't see that or any of that, but I do want to say thank you for that. It is appreciated, and hope you guys are having a wonderful night. Hi, and welcome to Orange Lounge Radio. We've been doing this far too long. In fact, just as the scrolls on the bottom, our first episode was back in 2002. So I want to thank you all for being here for our episode tonight. Dark Sakura and myself here. Loki with the night off, as he had just had surgery earlier this week and is recovering. Let's get into some more stories, especially after that last story about really, it's honestly rich executives scratching each other on the back, literally and figuratively in this particular case. And it's just exhausting to hear about. And why Mr. Kotick is still employed in this industry, I will never understand. Never understand.
I hope that once he's out the door, that's the last we hear of him.
I hope that door gives him a solid thwack in the buttocks on his way out. All right. I need happy news, Dark Sakura. Make me happy. Make me happy.
Only you can make yourself happy, Rob. Is it just saying? Anyway, Sega's doing something cool. They are doing reboots of Crazy Taxi and Jet Set Radio. And it's going to be big budget stuff, too. They are... the projects are part of something called Super Game Initiative. It's a plan that Sega Sammy has had since last year. So they wanted, the quote is, they want to develop all new and innovative titles with a focus on global reach, online interactivity, community building, and IP utilization. And that's where the working with Microsoft for the Azure Cloud platform comes in. So they want to use some of its dormant IPs for remakes, remasters, and reboots. And by name, they said Crazy Taxi and Jet Set Radio as candidates. Other games on the list is Space Channel 5, Rez, Panzer Dragoon, Knights, Shinobi, Virtua Fighter, and Altered Beast.
Yes to literally everything on this list. Literally everything.
Crazy Taxi and Jet Set Radio were up on the top of the list, according to Bloomberg. They have done remasters, remakes, things for other Dreamcast-era properties. Crazy Taxi and Jet Set Radio were on the Sega 2011 Dreamcast collection. There were I actually have Crazy Taxi for iPad, which is actually not bad. There's also Crazy Taxi Tycoon, which was originally called Crazy Taxi Gazillionaire, which is a business management sim / idle game. They've outsourced a lot of their IP revivals, though, including Streets of Rage 4, Panzer Dragoon Remake, Alex Kidd Miracle World DX, and House of the Dead Remake to indie developers. So we'll see what happens. But right now, Sega is kind of riding high on the Sonic revenue. And they're also looking into adapting Yakuza and Streets of Rage. So we'll see how that goes. I want a Streets of Rage the movie if the soundtrack is done by Yuzo Koshiro.
Well, you may be in luck elsewhere in the industry this week. Apparently, I read this somewhere. The Sonic director is interested in Streets of Rage. So,
but I knew about that.
Yeah. So,
but because I actually brought that up 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Yuzo Koshiro said somewhere that he wanted to be involved. But that doesn't mean his phone's ringing yet.
Yeah, I hadn't seen anything about that. But I mean, could you imagine if he did like modern mixes of the original music? That would be rad.
In our chat, they're talking about like Crazy Taxi and these remixes. Dark Tetsuya says, I saw someone on Twitter suggest a battle royale style take on Crazy Taxi, and it sounds ridiculous enough to be fun. I actually think that would be awesome. Like not necessarily 100 people, but just even like that sense of like 10 people all playing on the same map at the same time, trying to pick up the same people and get to the same spots. I think that actually would be really funny. That sounds really fun.
Doesn't sound like fun to me.
Really? I think it'd be fun.
I don't like, I wouldn't like that. I like to get in and play it solo and be done. It's always a solo game.
Well, as an option.
Always be.
As an option, maybe.
I don't know.
But I,
when they put options in games like that, they have some sort of reward that forces you to play it. And no.
I also think Crazy Taxi is not Crazy Taxi unless it has that Offspring song in it. Because only sometimes have they been able to get that, you know, yeah. Like, it's just not.
For me, it was more about the Bad Religion music. Whenever 10 in 2010 mm-hmm. came on, that was my song.
And Tiger Claw points out.
I love that whole soundtrack. Yeah.
Sorry, Tiger Claw points out it wasn't the Sonic director for Streets of Rage. It was the writer for John Wick. My bad. The other one I wanted to point out, they were talking about Panzer Dragoon. So Questbuster says, as Mike Deff pointed out, Panzer Dragoon had a remake, unless they're talking about rebooting a new chapter or the series, which I'd love to see. Yeah, I think that remake kind of had a soft land. It definitely needed a patch to get to the place where it needed to be. So I'm wondering if it isn't maybe a new game, or the reality is it's on the list, but it's not at the top of the list. And
it's,
you know,
not at the top of the list. Yeah. They've already done that third-party remake.
Yeah.
As I mentioned.
So I
would doubt very seriously. What I would actually like them to do is if they did remake anything, is if they did a remake of a Panzer Dragoon RPG.
Mm.
Or what was it here? Panzer Dragoon Saga, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've got a copy somewhere.
All right.
But that would be nice, because that game is pretty amazing.
All right. Well, let's talk about what's... Excuse me, I have the hiccups, you guys. The worst thing that can happen to me when trying to do a show. Let's move on and talk about something that Sega is doing, which is Sonic Origins. And we got some new information on that this week. So Sonic Origins is going to be coming to the Switch, but I believe it's coming to other platforms as well. I just happen to be looking at a story on a Nintendo-based website. But it's a remastered collection of the original Sonic the Hedgehog titles. So Sonic did announce that the release date is June 23rd. Hey, just in time for my birthday. And by the way, it is the Switch. It's PS5, 4, Xbox Series, and Xbox One. So it's, you know, most of the normal areas you'd expect. Sega's announced it's coming out on June 23rd, and it's going to be available in these different editions. It's basically standard, digital deluxe, and three different DLCs with it. Which is,
that's a lot.
It is a lot. There's a start dash pack with 100 bonus coins, mirror mode already unlocked, and a letterbox background. There's a premium fun pack with hard missions, letterbox, animations in the main menu, and camera controls in the main menu islands. There is a classic music track with additional music tracks from the Mega Drive and Genesis titles. So I don't know if all this is really necessary, but okay, go off. And honestly, I'm going to be honest. When I first saw this trailer, I was like, what? These games have been released so many times. They've re-released, rather, so many times. You know, we've had Sonic 1, 2, and 3 and Knuckles. Every more, like, since the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, there's been a Sega collection that has had it in it. I could swear Sonic 3 has been in that, too. But maybe not the current, like, Genesis emulation or whatever. All right, they're saying in chat that Sonic 3 has not been released in a long time. I'll believe them, that's fine. But even then, it's, you know, just Sonic 3, I guess. Sonic 1 and 2 have, you know, come out a million times. Some people also say it's because of the Michael Jackson involvement with Sonic 3, that one's kind of the harder one to get redone for whatever reason. But it's not just, and to be fair, it's not just that the games are re-releasing. It's that they are done in the higher resolution. So it's, you know, crisp pixels, I guess. There is new opening and ending animations for each title. There are unlockables to get new content and special stages. And then there's classic and anniversary mode, which basically the anniversary mode is a full screen. So it uses widescreen. You actually play the old games, but in widescreen, which is kind of interesting. And as Chad is pointing out, basically they're doing these games in the Sonic Mania engine, which is interesting. But I'm not sure the DLC is a smart thing to do with this, especially right out the gate to announce that all this is there. They probably should have released it and then trickled out the DLC. Probably would have been a smarter way to do it. But they really want to lock in those pre-orders, that's for sure. So, but I don't know. I think they're asking a little much for it, considering how many times I've played Sonic the Hedgehog in recent years. But I do think that the widescreen mode, it's interesting, but is it $30 interesting? I don't know. So, all right. Well, let's travel back and revisit a classic game in our next segment.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And Dark Sakura, what did you pick for the classic game tonight?
I picked Tetranet. Yeah, we've talked about it many, many a time. A lot of us have memories of it. Well, I'm bringing it up now, Tetranet.
And
Tetranet,
I apologize.
Is...
I need to step away for just 1 minute to deal with the hiccups. I'll be back. Sorry.
All right. Tetranet is an online multiplayer version of Tetris that supports up to 6 people has team play. So it first came out in 1997. It had releases for Microsoft Windows, Unix, Mac OS X, and BayOS. It was developed by Stormcat, and the O is a zero because it was. The last official version is version 1.13, and it was originally developed for Windows and later ported to the other systems. Stormcat also released Tetranet 2 in 2000 that has improved graphics, different types of special blocks, more types, and additional features like a hold piece and block shadows and a master server. So, as far as the game, it basically is a standard multiplayer Tetris with a twist. If you clear a row, it will cause special blocks to appear in your field. If a line containing a special block is cleared, then that block is added to your inventory. Clearing those lines at once, multiple lines at once, increases the number of special blocks that you get. So at any point, you can use a special block at the start of your inventory on one of the 6 fields, which is one of your either your own or other people's or your opponent's. Excuse me. So it depends on which type of block you're going to use. So A is add a line, where it adds a broken line. C is clear line, which clears the line on the bottom of the field. B is clear special blocks, which causes all special blocks to return to normal blocks. R is random blocks clear, so random blocks are removed from the target field, so that gives you gaps in your lines. O is a bomb block, which causes block bombs to explode and scatters other blocks throughout your playfield. Q is a block quake, which causes blocks on each line to shift and sort of like an earthquake effect. G is block gravity, where the blocks on the field just immediately fall into whatever gap happens to be there and deletes the completed line. S is to switch fields, so you actually switch your playfield with somebody else. And N is nuke field, which removes all blocks from the target field. The last player to still be able to place pieces in their field is the winner. And depending on the server used, there are alternate rules. Sometimes there is pure, where special blocks are disabled, so it's just everyone is playing multiplayer Tetris. And then 7 Tetris, where the first player to make 7 Tetrises is the winner. So there are those modes. The music in this one, it's called the Dance of the Spheres. It's been everywhere. Like, they made a Stepmania chart for this.
What? I don't remember that. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's the authorship is claimed by someone named David. It might be Lahia. Although there are other sources that say Davy M. Carlson is the composer. Back in the day, we thought this was hot shit. Today, I can't stand listening to it. I was like, okay, jamming for a little bit nostalgia. Then after, I was like, okay, I'm done. So there are also different variables that you can add to the Tetranet 1.13 client, different variables. One is called Tetra Fast, which removes the 1 second delay between the pieces that you find and the standard Tetranet gameplay. Piece delay is implemented on the client side, it's just a modification that keeps clients from having it happen to the, you know, you basically, there's, you only connect to people playing Tetra Fast. There's also one called Tetranet / Tetrafast 1.14, with the 1.14 protocol is a variant where everyone receives the same sequence of pieces. There's Blocktris, that's for the Windows client, where it also supports the Tetranet and Tetrafast protocols, but it also has additional special block types. One is for left gravity, which pulls the blocks to the left as far as possible. Piece change that changes your current piece, and zebra field, which clears every second column on the field. Then for Tetranet 2, it's another multiplayer Tetris done by the original creator. The 5 new blocks it adds is immunity, where the target cannot be affected by any special for 15 seconds. Clear column that deletes a column from the field. Mutate pieces that causes the target's next pieces, a default of 3, to become large and awkwardly shaped. Darkness, where you can't see anything on the field beside your current piece and its immediate surroundings for 10 seconds. Confusion, that causes your controls to get mixed up for 10 seconds. And then, of course, there were other clone, you know, the other Tetranet 2 got closed down by the Tetris company, just like other ones did. Their website and servers were unavailable for several years. As of early 2010, Tetranet 2 is back up and running. And that's...
I kind of want to play.
Yeah. The Tetranet 2 website and servers have been recovered, relocated, and restored.
Hmm.
With all of the, you know, various versions, it was really well received, especially by the Linux community. The Linux conference at linux.conf.au even had a programming contest where they tried to program Tetranet playing bots that would connect to the server and play the game. And the prize for best bot was 40,000 Australian $40,000 IBM P-Series server. There's also LAN parties. Game Revolution said Tetranet was an affordable alternative to Tetris. And then in a review in 1999 of the next Tetris, Game Revolution said that Tetranet was truer to the Tetris roots. And if you want multiplayer Tetris, the network-based Tetranet is more fun. I'm wondering if the existence of Tetranet is what led to Tetris 99.
Oh, I'm sure it's in part inspired by it, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when they were trying to think of, like, how do we do Tetris as a battle royale, somebody probably thought of Tetranet, you know, and you know, how could we model it after that in some capacity? Oh, for sure. For sure.
Really care, by the way, for the way that Tetranet 2.0 looks.
Yeah, I like the way the first one looks better.
Interface.
Yeah.
But I like the overlaying grid over the pieces. So for people who have, like, some issues with the perception of space,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying necessarily depth perception, but just more like spatial awareness, having the segments to the blocks make it easier and more accessible.
Well, we
but anyway.
In chat, they're talking about a VOG Tetris night, and Def says Tetris 99 has private lobbies. You know, a Tetranet or a Tetris 99, I think I'd actually like super be down for that. I think that would be a lot of fun. I think we should invite Kevin DDR from who used to listen to OLR years ago to just come and slaughter us all. So if you don't know, he's was quite memorable in the Tetris scene for a while. So I don't know if he still plays regularly, but
yeah,
that would be very funny. All right. Well, there it is. I think that's all you have to say, right? That's your classic game of the week. Tetranet.
That'll do it.
But that's such a good pick. I love Tetranet. And you're right. It's come up on the show I don't know how many times before. So it only makes sense we spotlight it as a classic game of the week eventually around these parts, right? So, all right. Anyhow, let's wonder why. Okay, my Discord was taking forever to kick back in. Jamie was a gray square for a minute there. All right, that's all right. A lot of LOL.
I guess I have more stuff to do in a row, so I'll get right into it.
Are we really? Okay. Oh yeah, it's rapid fire news. Hey, when Loki's
I was about to eat myself some rosé jelly bellies. Okay.
When Loki's not here, we all got to pick up the slack. But these are rapid fire news, so you can talk about them rapidly. Well, I'll let you chew that jelly bean and just mention in chat, LOL, LOL. And Dark Tetsuya says, IDK, how badly do you want to lose? Excellent question. I'll probably lose anyway. I'm not that good at Tetris. You know, another Tetris game that isn't played online enough is Tetris Effect. It had a pretty neat multiplayer mode in it. I don't know how many of you actually have it. We should do a Tetris Effect night one night. That would be fun, I think. So, all right.
I still like Giant Tetris.
Which one?
The Giant Tetris.
Oh, isn't that a Sega machine, the arcade?
I think it is.
Yeah, that's fun. All right. Let's get rapid fire news. Star Sakura.
So, I'm sure we've covered this before, the TMNT Shredder's Revenge, this retro-style beat-em-up that you can play as the Four Turtles, or as April, or as Splinter.
Well, as long as Tiger Claw's here, we'll always get the latest Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles news.
Well, the game is actually going to feature the 1987 TV series voice actors. You know, Cam Clark and all of them are revising their roles.
That's legit pretty rad.
That is pretty rad, and it doesn't have a release date yet. It has a window. Dotemu, the publisher working with Tribute Games, confirms this summer for Switch. So it's going to be pretty cool. I'd watch the trailer. I'm pretty down for it. Also, press release time. Battletoads versus Double Dragon. I'm sure we remember that back in the day on the Nintendo Entertainment System. It's actually going to have a physical reprint of it. There's a pre-order window from April 19th, which is my birthday, through May 22nd at $59.99 or €64.99 euro. Put out by Retrobit Publishing. And then they are planning on releasing the 16-bit version later this year.
That's awesome. And that also, I real quick before we get into our next segment, some of you were talking about that on our Discord server this week. And I always want to promote our Discord server, vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com/Discord. We'll get you an invite to the server. And many of you post stories there throughout the week. And sometimes we pull from that for stories that we're going to talk about on the show. And I'm always happy. Sometimes people ask me my opinion on things throughout the week. I'm surprised people care, but I'm surprised. Or I'm always happy to drop my opinion on whatever. You just tag me over on our Discord server. So, Dark Tosia says, I never got around to that one officially. I'm assuming that's the Battletoads and Double Dragon game. But playing a bit of the ROM, it seemed kind of fun. Yeah. All right. We are now going...
That always annoyed the shit out of me, so I'm not buying it.
All right. We are going to travel around the world and check out some release dates. Loki is not here tonight, so I will take up the U.S. release dates and talk about what is coming out in the U.S. So let's see. Today is the 24th. So this week on the 26th, Demon Gaze Extra for Windows. Zombie Army 4 Dead War is coming out on the Nintendo Switch. And then we've talked about this on the show prior. The Stanley Parable, the Ultra Deluxe Edition, is out pretty much everywhere. Vampire the Masquerade Blood Hunt. I know we've seen some previews of that. That is out on Windows and PlayStation 5. So if that's up your alley, you have that. And then on the 28th, Bugsnax makes its debut on the Xbox platforms, as well as Windows and Nintendo Switch. So Bugsnax is no longer a PlayStation exclusive as of the 28th. For you Cricket fans out there, Cricket 22 is coming out on the Nintendo Switch, but I'm just going to guess. I don't. It's listed in my American release dates, although I can't imagine it's actually coming out in America, but that's awesome if it does.
There's a somewhat cricket following in the U.S.
That's true. There's people who play rugby here, too. I know some gay rugby players. They love it.
Rugby is preferable, I think.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Rogue Legacy 2. I think that game's been in early access for a little bit, but it's coming out of early access for Windows, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. That is all on the 28th. Tasomachi Behind the Twilight for Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. And quite a big release this week on April the 29th. So just before we get to our next show, Nintendo Switch Sports. That is Wii Sports, but Nintendo Switch Sports. And that's one that we've had on our eye on for a little bit ever since Nintendo kind of surprised announced this. But should it be a surprise? Should it? Because this is the Wii Sports was a huge selling game. Nintendo Switch Sports will have tennis, bowling, and sword play, or chambara is what it's called in the game, and three new sports, soccer, volleyball, and badminton. So you can hit around the shuttlecock in the privacy of your own home on Nintendo Switch Sports.
I went to fence people.
As you play badminton. So enjoy playing with your shuttlecock. That is what, and if you didn't know, that is what they call the little thing in badminton. It's a shuttlecock. All right. I think all of us learned that in high school playing badminton. All right. Moving on to Japan and checking out the Japanese release dates. Looking on the Nintendo Switch, pretty similar story. We have... Ikemen Sengoku Toki o Kakeru Koi Aratanaru Day comes out in regular and limited edition from Idea Factory. And that is where you are a fashion designer who goes back in time to an alternate version of Sengoku era Japan. You have accidentally changed history and earned the favor of Nobunaga Oda by saving him from death. So you must survive 3 months surrounded by famous and handsome Sengoku warlords before your next chance to make it back home. This game sounds too ridiculous to be true, but it's true. But it's notable because it's like a men dating simulator. You're dating Sengokus. So that's kind of fun. All right. Let's see. What else? Food Girls 2, Civil War. What the fuck is up with the releases this week? A popularity voting bet based on your dignity. Win or leave the street market. The second major game in the cuisine personification simulation series.
What?
I'm sorry. Can we unpack that statement for a minute? The cuisine personification simulation series. Please look forward to it.
Well, we do have I Am Toast.
He shows Same is out in Japan this week as well. Tasumachi Behind the Twilight is also out. And Oshi no Love Yori Koi no Love plus Love or Die, so a dual pack, also out in Japan this week. And if you've wanted a Min Min amiibo, that is released in Japan this week as well. You can also look forward to Nintendo Switch Sports also releasing in Japan this week. On the PlayStation 5 this week, MotoGP 22 is released on the 28th. There you go. Let's go over to the UK, Dark Sakura.
So, in the UK, God, this thing is asking me questions now. In the UK, we only have four. On the 26th for Switch, we have Zombie Army 4 Dead War. On the 28th, we have Cricket 22, The Official Games of the Ashes, also for Switch. Actually, everything on this list is for Switch. Nintendo Switch Sports on the 29th, and also on the 29th, Metal Tales Overkill.
All right.
That would do it.
We will soon get to the listener roundtable, your emails, your calls, and all that good stuff. If you want to join us in our Discord for a call, vognetwork.com/Discord. By the way, I have a special need tonight. I'm hoping somebody will call in because I'm going to need help wrapping up the show tonight. Because Dark Sakura, as you know, she tends to go out the door before the credits roll because she's trying to set up for her own little thing going on after the show, the after party. That's going to leave me here all by my lonesome self. So what? What was you saying?
I was singing that song, All By Myself.
All By Myself. Yeah, so that will leave me all by myself if nobody calls in tonight. But if we get a phone call tonight, I can let that person close down the show with me tonight. So that'll be fun. All right. But first,
intern.
Yeah, an intern tonight. So let's we do have some stories to get to before we get to the listener roundtable. So let's get to this first story from Dark Sakura.
So Wisconsin video game workers at Raven Software, as we know, they are the arm of Activision Blizzard that works on Call of Duty. They, and I believe that we've talked about Raven before in this whole concept here, but they've have a unionization campaign by 21 of their employees in Middleton, Wisconsin, as just trying to shake more of this up going on. I mean, they're working, you know, to really put it in there. But at this point, their regional, NLRB director in Minneapolis rejected Activision's push to have the election encompass a wider category of Raven workers that would dilute the unionizing vote. So at this point, it looks like that the unionizing may be good to go.
So, you know, we hypothesize this would probably start at Activision, and this would be one of the first to break the dam, so to speak, on the unionization in the game industry efforts. And that might be coming to, I mean, it's not the first time we've heard of the union, because we've had stories on the show weeks before. There's been other smaller developers, but for this to happen within Activision would be something.
Another thing too, earlier this month, Activision Blizzard also announced that they would be converting nearly 1,100 part-time quality assurance jobs to full-time jobs and raising hourly wages to at least $20. Mm. So all right. There's that.
All right. And if you're getting a raise at your job and you want to waste your money on something, boy, do I have the prospect for you. And that is more Legos, because an official Lego Atari 2600 is supposed to be launching this August. This is by Promo Bricks, who kind of leaked this, I guess, because you know, these things tend to leak out in catalogs and, industry ordering and things like that. So an official Lego version of the 2600 console, will be coming out in August as part of the 50th anniversary for Atari as a company. The set will have a Lego rendition of the console itself, and also the joystick, and a cartridge of Pitfall, which is interesting because that's not an Atari game. That was an Activision game. But that will be the game that will be made from plastic bricks, of course. Very, very similar to the NES system that's out there that you can make a little Mario on the TV that runs. It's super cute. I don't have one because I was able to hold on to my money, but I've seen it. I think Bobby Blackwolf had one at his house and I was looking at it. It's cute. It's a cute little system. So if the Atari 2600 one has the TV and everything too, that would be pretty cool. So Promo Bricks is saying that the Atari 2600 will be $200. I'm sorry, $199.99, but let's just say $200. When it is a timed exclusive on LEGO's website this August and a general retail release in January of 2023. Dark Tetsuya says, well, I guess it would be either that, E.T., or Pac-Man. I think Atari wants to forget those two. So it's probably, Combat would have probably been the game for that. Oh, hey, Loki's in chat.
Loki appears. Shouldn't
you be resting, Loki? All right. I knew he wouldn't be able to stay away all night, but I was actually going to say, tune in next week to find out when Loki plans to get his, because I'm sure he's going to get his own version of that. But I would also expect, so I also saw in chat, they're saying that seems kind of cheap. It says nothing about the operational TV with the game on it. We know there's a Pitfall cartridge. That doesn't mean there's a Pitfall game on the TV. So I would imagine that piece of it probably actually isn't there. Unless we're hearing this from a secondhand source. I imagine when LEGO and Atari decide to officially unveil it, we'll find out for sure. But I wouldn't count on the TV being a part of it. So. All right, that is it, believe it or not, for the stories that we had on deck for tonight. So we're going to get into the listener roundtable. We'll take your questions over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. But also, we welcome your emails every week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And as I mentioned earlier, we will take your calls on the Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. I believe we have one email tonight, so I will turn it over.
Two emails from the same person.
Snap. I may have not thrown out last week's email. Check the date. I'm notoriously bad at that. Yeah, sorry.
That was last week's.
That was last week's.
You know, I rely on a clean inbox.
You are more than welcome to log in before Sunday night to take a peek. All right. Let's get to tonight's email.
Hello, LR. I was not expecting the reaction that I got to my email last week. Ha! As always, thank you for your support of my games, and I'm including the listeners in that as well. Rob mentioned that unlike with Xbox Live indie games, Falling Plus is displayed on the proper Xbox store. Unfortunately, this isn't 100% true, because although you can search for it and find it easily, you cannot browse the store for it. Games included in the Creator's Collection, as it is called, cannot be browsed. You may recall that the store got a complete visual overhaul back in 2020. Mm-hmm. This collection had a browsable section on the store before that, but now that is gone. Mm-hmm. Several folks have opened tickets or made complaints about this, but unfortunately Microsoft is not acknowledging or responding to these. Oh well. I will also mention that Falling Plus is unfortunately not a Play Anywhere title, meaning you cannot also play it on Windows, but if you buy it on Xbox. To anyone who would have utilized this, I apologize, but it's already available on Steam, and my audience is small enough that I didn't want to split it across the two different PC versions. But if you post a score to leaderboards on Xbox, email me at yyr@yyrgames.com with your Xbox gamer tag, and I'll send you a free Steam key.
That's good guy YYR. He doesn't have to do that at all, but that's just good guy YYR.
I'll end with a quick correction. Forza Horizon 4 is actually still available on Xbox Game Pass. So if you just discovered Forza Horizon with the fifth game, but would like to try the same game on a different map, then give it a try while you can. I happen to really like the version of the UK that they created. Thanks again for the show and have a great week. Looking forward to seeing Peppy the Penguin again. Aaron YYR.
All right. I'm so glad you're happy with the reaction, because I was happy to see it. And that's a bummer that there isn't like a store like a way to like look it up in the store by hand, you know, a store page, kind of like you were explaining there. I just assumed because I could search for it, and it had like you were in the template in the store, like you had screenshots, you had all that other stuff. I just kind of assumed, oh, okay, it's in the store because here it all is, but you have to search for it. That's interesting. SSGO 100 Matt also notes you can link directly to it because he just dropped the link in our chat room. So you can actually just tap the link and buy it there that way if you want. It's too long of a link for me to read on air, so I can't really do it that way. But I can just say search for Falling Plus, or you can probably search for YYR. And you'll find it that way too. But if for whatever reason that doesn't work, just do Falling Plus and you'll find the game. I did play it earlier this week, but I was playing for so long. I got to a point I had to leave. I had to leave and I couldn't finish the game and upload my high score. I should have just purposely died a bunch of times to get my high score up there, but I'll do that. I'll do that later this week. Maybe I'll do a stream. Who knows? But kudos again, YYR, for the release of Falling Plus. And, my bad on Forza Horizon 4. I guess it was 3 they must have delisted not that long ago. I'm just getting lost amongst all those numbers. Can you blame me? I'm not sure. All right. Thank you, Darkstalker, for that email reading. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you would like to send an email for a future week. In the meantime, let's welcome a special guest onto the show because I see someone in our green room. So hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It is Ronva.
Long time no talk.
I know, right? You know, I wasn't planning on calling in until that first article popped up. I'm like, yeah.
Which article?
Oh, about the person working at Nintendo that's basically mad they didn't get flipped to full-time employment.
Oh. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I've been in IT basically 20-something
years. Oh, yeah. IT and contractors. Oh, yes.
Yes. And the bulk of that has been me as a contractor. And the main reason you want to go FTE is for the benefits and the discounts and all that cool stuff. That's the main reason why. But sometimes you'll have to be there anywhere from like 3 days to 5 years until a position opens up that you can get in there, or if the budget is big enough where, oh, they could add another spot for you. And that's basically what it is.
IT and contracting specifically is a very interesting world because you get a lot of temporary people that are brought in for transition work. Like we're moving from one cloud to another, so we're going to hire contractors that are experts in this to help us with this transition, and then we're going to let them go. Because they're literally contractors. They're here for this length of time. IT does a lot of stuff like that that I would say is nefarious, but it stinks. And I'm sure nefarious shit happens. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it basically depends on the company. Now, I will put this out there. You know, I was a contractor with NBC Universal for about a year until COVID happened. Now, we had two separate IT departments. They merged them. So the next open spot went to somebody in the other department because he had seniority over me. And the main reason why I was putting my head down doing what I had to do is because I wanted those discounted tickets to Universal Studios. And for the record, I was going to Universal Studios Japan. So that was my main goal.
You got to see Super Mario World. I don't blame you at all.
Well, yeah, that and the Sailor Moon 4D experience. And all
oh, shit, cool that's a thing? Oh, my God, I want to see. Yes. I want to take Alan. Alan loves Sailor Moon. Yeah.
I will find you information, and I'll send it to you.
Do you know how many bootleg VHS Sailor Moon tapes Alan has in his closet?
I know. I had over 150 bootleg VHS tapes until I had to toss them when I moved. Aww. Believe you me. And when I switched to digital, couple terabytes of fan subs, which I slowly deleted as I went to purchase legal titles and stuff like that. But I've worked for a company called Fresh Direct where I was a contractor there, and I ended up long term because I knew how to run help desk and do technical support besides loading Windows or Mac onto a computer and handing it to the user. And what they did was they had a contracting division for those for union, for the truckers. You were contracting with them for X amount of weeks till you got flipped over to the union where you had all the benefits and so forth. And One thing that some people don't realize is that when the company, when the agency pays you X amount, they charge that company double the amount to have you there, which is why 9 times out of 10, you'll be at that same rate for more than 1 or 2 years. Because they'll be like, oh, we don't have that type of money because it's coming out of their bonus. And that's why you work hard to show what you can do so that the manager of this company be like, you know what? This person's good. I like them. Let's convert them, you know? And right now, the company I'm currently working with, I got the call about a month ago saying that my contract is getting converted. So I'm basically waiting for the HR paperwork and so forth. So in a way, I do understand where this person is coming from, but sometimes you always gotta watch your back, because even though you're still an employee of the company, you gotta follow the rules and so forth. The littlest stuff they will ping you for. Yeah. And what's interesting, in some cases, the littlest stuff, they just let that slide and they expect everybody else to set the proper example, you know?
It's the contracting world is very interesting stuff, and it's far beyond video games as well, but it's interesting to see how video games kind of play into that and how the industry, you know, really uses contractors to do a lot of work that we don't always think about that goes into making games.
I mean,
and
like,
it's not even just like the testing of games and things like that. Yep. But like, we've talked about trade shows, PAX, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what big names are still doing PAX East right now. But, you know, when it was, you know, Nintendo and Sony that were doing these shows, the booths that were the people that were staffing the booths, contractors.
Yep, exactly.
Booth babes. I'm using my quotey fingers at E3 and the PAX contractors. So
I mean, in a way, this happens at regular anime conventions too. It's you go to a con and be like, you can work a booth and get for 20 hours and get reimbursed for your badge, and you still get to go enjoy something like that. That happens.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like Nintendo can sit there and curate all these resumes and go through the whole kit and caboodle of the multi-tier interviews to see if they want you or not. They'll let the third party company be like, you know what, we're gonna call all these people in, they're gonna put them through those interviews. It used to be where the agency would call you and be like, we got you a position, you report here. Now it's like, we have you a position, you're gonna interview with the agency to see if you're a fit, and if they like you, you're going to interview with the company and so on and so forth. That way, in the event you do get converted to full time, you've already done those interviews. All you gotta do is sign the paperwork, and that's that.
Speaking of conventions, I know you were somewhere this weekend because you sent me a picture with another blast from OLR's past. So where were you at this weekend?
I was actually in the Bronx. I went to go visit Jay Vivant at his job.
Oh, you were at the store. Oh, I thought you were at a convention. Okay, you were at the actual store.
No,
oh, okay.
No, I have a convention this weekend. I'm still catching up from the last con. I pre-ordered a pop from his store because, you know, even though that same pop was available at GameStop, I decided to cancel that pre-order and order from his comic book shop to support small independent shops.
Good for you. Especially his, our old friend there. So even if I haven't seen him in a while, he used to call her right once in a while, but I know business has been very busy, so I forget. Yeah.
Look, I went there to pick up a pop, and he walked away with $100 extra of my money. I bought comic book boxes and more pops, okay?
AKA shit you don't need. You still walked out of there with it. Hey, look. Today was our weekly Costco, or no, actually more our every 3 weeks or so Costco trip. I have no room to talk about buying extra shit you don't need.
Look, behind my head is a makeshift shelf that sits on my storage bins of all the figurines that I have purchased that I have not taken out because I realize I don't have room for them in the display case. But they're great deals at cons, and it's like, well, it's within the $7 to $10 Amazon. Let me buy this, you know?
I love it. I'll be filling up this place soon enough with that same stuff. So
yeah, I'll say this much about one thing about contracting that I've gained from is the fact that every place I've worked at is same yet different. I've gained a lot of valuable knowledge and training and skill. But what sucks is when you're trying to go full time somewhere, they look at your resume and see all these places, and it's like, well, how come you haven't stayed here? How come you're like, my contract ended. That was it. That's all it was.
Yeah.
I was up for a role. I didn't get it because I had too many contracting positions. And in a way, I'm kind of glad I didn't get that role because I'm happier where I am now.
That's a weird thing to DQ someone over, for sure.
The person believes that when you're in IT, you shouldn't have all these multiple positions, these roles. I know multiple people in IT where that's the norm.
Couldn't you just list your role as the contractor company and the whole time you've been there? Or are you going back and forth between different contractor companies? Just because I know when when I was doing contract stuff, I was signed up with like three of them. And I'm like, whichever of you hoes gets me a job first is the one I'm sticking with.
I do that. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I sent my resume out. Next thing you know, I'm getting all these texts, emails, and phone calls, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I will put it this way, though. When I started with Where I Am, I started there with the intention that they would hire me. Because that's just how it works. If you really suck, you don't stay on. Mm-hmm. And I had my first interview for a completely different department. And where I work, they encourage you to wear different hats and diversify yourself and build a bigger portfolio and learn more and incorporate that into newer and newer and newer roles. So I know, though, where I work is also a unicorn.
Mm-hmm. Rama, so. I want to get your reaction to this quote in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Questbuster says, a coworker once told me that you can't spell shit without IT.
Look, there is a reason why there is a flask on my desk.
Have a gimlet lunch break.
I'm glad that they cater lunch for us every single day, and I'm glad of the fact that the CVS one block over sells beer, okay?
I love it. All right. Well, hey, Rama, why don't you hang out with me for a minute here and help close down, turn off the lights with me here tonight, because we are getting to the end of the show, and it's about time to wrap up, but that means we're going to be saying bye to Dark Soccer in a moment. But before we do that...
I'm eating my cheese from the Bravo Cheese Farm, Rob.
Oh.
What kind of cheese is that?
This is sage.
Ooh.
Like a sage cheddar, and this is a garlic jack.
That sounds tasty.
They're delightful.
That sounds
delightful.
Ooh.
Before we get to that, though, I do want to say thank you, of course, as always, for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being here. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need the voices here to put out on air. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever it is. I mean, there's a million places that podcast these days. Wherever you found this particular program, please leave a nice review. Social media shares are huge as well. All of it. We'll take it all. Raids on Twitch, as Bromigos did earlier. Thanks again, folks, or anybody, and hosting, all very good stuff. So thank you for all of it. It is appreciated. Before we close up shop here tonight, let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts. Dark Soccer, I hate to interrupt the cheese eating and self. Oh no, that's you getting your phone up there. I was like, and selfie taking. But what is your final thought tonight?
Damn, this cheese is good.
Mm-hmm. All right, have a good stream, and we'll see you next week.
See you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Let's see. So, Rama. Thanks for being here with me and closing down the shop tonight. Everybody listen to Anime Jam Session Tuesday nights over at twitch.tv/AnimeJamSession. You should just follow it right now while it's on your mind, so you'll always be notified. Yes, please do. Well, Rama, I get to extend the courtesy to you as well. Do you have a final thought you'd like to share with listeners tonight?
Drink more sparkling water, because this cherry limeade is the bomb.
That I've had that particular brand, and it is good. It's good stuff.
There's like 9 cases sitting over here. Okay. So I'm like, I'm good for the next like 3 months.
I'm not the only one that's stocked up at Costco, clearly. So, all right. Anyway, my final thought tonight is, you know what I need Costco to carry? And I've already talked about this on a previous episode of the show, is this fucking Coke Starlight shit that's a zero. It's so good. I think so. Some people think it tastes like ass. I think it's delicious. And
it was tasty. I kind of felt a hint of caramel while I was drinking. I'm like, it's lighter than normal Coke. This is good.
It tastes like raspberry to me. It tastes like specifically those black and red raspberry gummies. That's what this tastes like to me. Some people say cotton candy. Yes, I don't know. And apparently there's a new, they're doing something like Pixels, I think, is, you know, here I am giving Coke free ad dollars. But you know what? Here's the downside. Because I like this, and I drink this, I'm already not able to find the 12 packs anymore. And it's just, I know it's going to disappear. Shit I love always goes away.
I feel your pain on that. Because there are certain flavors of Coke and Pepsi I cannot get here in Brooklyn. Mm. But if I cross the bridge to Jersey, it's right there. But I'm just like, I don't believe this actually happens.
This fictional land of not having to pump my own gas and finding new flavors of Pepsi. All right. That is it. That is going to do it for another episode here of Orange Lounge Radio. Hey, thank you so much for being here and participating with the show. We will see you next week. We'll be here to do it again next week. Hopefully Loki will be back, but if he needs another week, then he's going to get another week. But seeing as I saw him in chat earlier, he seems to be well enough to sit at the computer and is thinking about the show. So thinking of you, Loki, get better soon. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next time. And thanks, Rama. Thanks for being here and closing down shop with me tonight. So I'm not so alone. Bye, everyone.
Oh, we love you, Rob. Come on.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.